are, I want to say back, Tyler, but it is the first episode of the season, the BBP. It's one of the things, and I'm Lindsay Patterson with my co-host here, Tyler Dragon.
Yes.
And it's one of those things when I threw out, you know, what's going to be coming back to the Bengals beat on Cincinnati.com, everyone asked me, is the podcast coming back? Not only the podcast, is the Bengals beat podcast coming back? And we are here. Some new voices you're going to hear over on the podcast, but we will be back weekly. We're going to have some fun. We're going to do some player interviews each week when we get into the season and just have fun with you guys. You know, you're going to throw your questions out on Twitter and social media, and we'll get to all those as the season goes on. But plenty to head on before we even get into training camp now. And Tyler, welcome.
Yeah, my first day on the job, people were blowing up my timeline asking about this podcast. So I feel you. I feel the excitement, and I'm excited to do this podcast. We have a lot of great things planned this year. We're going to have some fun. It's going to be a little bit different. I mean, you and I, we're going to have a lot of different topics to talk about. Obviously, Bengals all the time. But we're going to have some a lot of interesting things to throw out there, too, to fans, and interesting topics this year that I'm looking forward to diving into.
There's always something to talk about with the Cincinnati Bengals. No offseason for them. And I want to go ahead and start out with the all AFC North team right now. And you can start it with our quarterbacks.
Yeah, I have a couple stories going on Cincinnati.com already. And it's going to be a 9-part series this offseason. And I'm breaking down the best players in the AFC North. So actually, the first part of the series is the offensive linemen. So let me get on the offensive line before I get on the quarterbacks. So on the offensive linemen that just was posted yesterday, I have 5 players who I believe stand out in the division. And I have to brace you, Bengals fans. It's kind of Steelers heavy, so don't shoot me on Twitter right now. It's Steelers heavy right now because I got to keep it 100 all the time. And the Steelers, they have the best offensive line in the division. So there's 3 players who stand out. First things first, Steelers tackle Alejandro Villanueva. I have him starting on the AFC North team at tackle. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler, and his trajectory should be going up. He's right smack dab in the middle of his prime. He only allowed 4 sacks in 2018. We all know he served in the U.S. Army for 3 years. He's a leader. He's respected in that Pittsburgh locker room and has not missed a start since 2015. So he is very reliable on that Steelers offensive line. Second, I have Steelers guard David DeCastro. In my opinion, he's one of the best guards in all of football. He's easily the best guard on the Steelers team. He only allowed 1 sack last year. 6'5", he's a bigger guard. You don't see guards that are that tall playing in the inside of the offensive line. So I have him as my all AFC North guard. Then at center, Marquise Pouncey. I know 3 Steelers in a row, right?
But at the same time, I think with the Bengals, and a lot of people have talked about, and it's kind of been the storyline for the past 2 to 3 years, they're going to talk about the offensive line struggles, uh-huh. And they know it's there. But on a positive note, and I know it's hard to say that because Jonah Williams is more than likely out for the season, the Bengals offensive line is getting better than where it was this time last year. So you're going to probably have that when you look at the all AFC North team right now, and not surprising to hear that the Steelers do have a strong O-line.
Yes, and I'm going to surprise Bengals fans at the end of my offensive line team. So as I was saying, Steelers center Marquise Pouncey, he's one of the most recognizable centers in all of football, 7-time Pro Bowler, 2-time all NFL first team. He's a general on the Steelers O-line. He's, in my opinion, he's probably top 2, top 3 centers in the NFL. Then at guard, I have Ravens guard. So switching on from Pittsburgh, we're going to Baltimore. I got Ravens guard Marshall Yanda. He is the best guard in football. Allowed 0 sacks last year, and that's after being injured a season before. Watching him on tape, I love the leverage he plays with, and he plays with great strength. He is equally as dominant as a run blocker and pass blocker, and that is something you really do not see in the NFL from all that many offensive linemen. The premier offensive linemen do it, but you don't see that too often in the National Football League. And last but not least, Bengals fans, I do have a Bengal on our all AFC North offensive line team, Cordy Glenn. I know it's kind of surprising. Lindsay's looking at me in shock right now.
No, you know what? I kind of like it. I think that's what fans wanted from Cordy Glenn when the Bengals picked him up last year.
Okay. Well, let me kind of explain why I have Cordy Glenn at the last tackle spot on my all AFC North team. I think he is a versatile lineman. He's steady. He's smart. And, I mean, case in point, the Bengals were going to put him at guard before Janoa Williams got injured. So we know that he can play multiple positions along the offensive line. And last year, he was a very serviceable offensive lineman on that team. He only allowed one sack, and that was his first season in Cincinnati. I mean, yes, health is a concern. Health is a concern with everybody in the National Football League. But when he's been on the field, he's been productive, and he is reliable. And the he doesn't do anything great, doesn't do anything outstanding, but he does his job, and the Bengals can count on him when he's on in the field. So if I look at all the tackles in the AFC North, he is an up echelon.
And kind of going back to the offensive line and the Cincinnati Bengals, I think what's interesting this year, and I had mentioned it before, I do think that they're better than they were in 2018. And yeah, that's losing your first round pick too and Jonah Williams. But I think what is telling and what is going to be telling, and it goes with Joe Mixon, the season he had, it's still underrated because of the season that the Bengals had overall. He was one of the top rushers in the AFC. So if the O-line gets a little, just a tad bit better, not only for Andy Dalton and Andy Dalton having his weapons back and Tyler Eifert and just in general, but having a Joe Mixon out there again who can come back and maybe be another top rusher in the AFC if his O-line is strong. So I think all of that's going to be interesting for the offense right now. So it's a big deal.
You got to win the battle of the trenches on both sides of the football. If the offensive line is strong, that does everything. It's a trickle-down effect. Mm-hmm. Quarterback gets better. The running backs have more running room. Receivers have more time to run their routes. Obviously, I'm not breaking any news here. If the offensive line is good, that is the first step to having success in the National Football League.
That's what everybody wants to see with the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, it's been the storyline for 2 to 3 years now, what they're going to bring this year. And I think it's interesting, new rules and all the different coaches that Zach Taylor brought in, too, to see how the different voices work with the different positions. So we'll know better after preseason. I watch preseason every day, and I'm like, that guy's fighting for his job. That guy has his job. That we're not going to see a whole lot because you're not going to go full go. And I don't blame any of the guys because they don't want to. So I think, you know, the first 2 weeks of the season will really kind of get the feel for where the offensive line is this year and where Andy Dalton's going to be if his guys can stay healthy, his offensive weapons can stay healthy. And I think that's the biggest thing right now for this offense.
This is true. This is true. And so you teased on the All-AFC North quarterback team, and I already have that. It was released today. I'm not going to reveal all the way who I picked. I will give fans a hint, though.
Okay.
Probably a too big of a hint. It's a 37-year-old quarterback.
Oh, I wonder who that would be when you look at two of the rookies. And then I know Andy Dalton isn't 37 yet. He is in his 30s, but he's not. You know what's interesting about that? And again, you can find everything up on Cincinnati.com. I'm just going to mention, not even mention the guy's name, but of course he's the Steelers quarterback. I would differ from that with you. I know how I feel about the rookies going into year two when you look at Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, and I call them rookies still because that's how they feel they are. They're not going to be going into this season, but having their rookie year, kind of looking what they were able to do. I said it before and I'll say it again. I think defensive coordinators, they've had all summer, they had all offseason to look how to stop those guys, and I think that they're going to get stopped. I still think they're strong. I still think that Baker Mayfield, the way he produced last year and came in when he finally got the chance to come after all the Hugh Jackson debacle and everything like that, Lamar Jackson, a mobile guy, different from what they had in Joe Flacco. I think they're interesting quarterbacks, and it brings the AFC North as still a difficult division in the NFL, but Ben Roethlisberger, he still has his history. He still has, you know, what he's been able to do for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has the rings. Health-wise, he struggled with that, you know, but he always finds a way to get back out there. So I think that's going to be interesting. But if you're looking at the overall resume, I could see where Ben Roethlisberger...
You said you weren't going to mention his name.
I'm sorry. There's so much to talk about when it comes to the quarterbacks right now. And I think with Andy Dalton, having a guy like Zach Taylor, a guy who has had to deal with different offensive coordinators, different quarterback coaches, and then you have a quarterback coach as your head coach, is going to be something different for Andy Dalton. And I think that is what's going to make the season interesting for the Cincinnati Bengals offense. Having Zach Taylor, an offensive guy. I know people are all like, Sean McVay. No. I think he brings different juice. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. You want him to be a little bit like Sean McVay. But I also think he has his own mindset, his own offense, how he wants to run things. And I think it's just fresh.
What's fascinating about the quarterback situation in the division is there are so many surrounding questions about all of them. Mm-hmm. First things first, Ravens obviously won the division last year. Lamar Jackson, can he develop as a passer? We know last year his first read was too often to run the football, use those legs, use his athletic ability. And he was successful at it for the most part until teams started to gather and get more information of what he liked to do and what he did not like to do. And then once the playoffs hit, you saw what happened in the Los Angeles Chargers game. They studied him ad nauseum, and he was not able to successfully get the ball downfield with his arms. So this year, how is Lamar Jackson going to improve as a quarterback? So that is a huge question, and that could be who's going to win the division, how well Lamar Jackson develops. And then over in Cleveland, you have Baker Mayfield. How is he going to handle all those weapons that the Browns have on offense? He has a lot of mouths to feed in Cleveland now.
I mean, you got Odell Beckham over there, and you know that guy. He's going to want the football.
Yeah, and if he doesn't get the football, you know he's prone to have temper tantrums on the sideline. So we might see some of that in Cleveland this year. So what is Baker Mayfield going to do in year two when he has so many weapons around him, and now that there's expectations for the first time in Cleveland?
But they got to win the division now. I mean, it's pretty much like win the division or bust for Cleveland.
I'm hearing Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, I'm hearing so much talk in Cleveland before the season even starts, just because they've had an offseason where they acquired a lot of big names. So expectations for the first time in a long time in Cleveland, and they have a second-year quarterback. And then Cincinnati, we already know about Andy Dalton. How can he improve under Zach Taylor, now under the tutelage of Zach Taylor? And he's had so many offensive coordinators over the past years. He's had to learn so many different playbooks, and now another one. So that takes its toll on a quarterback. I don't care who you are, how smart you are, how experienced you are as a football player. If you're getting new playbooks, new coaches every single year, It's going to take its toll. So I am fascinated to see during training camp how Andy Dalton and Zach Taylor kind of mesh, and how they're able to utilize Andy Dalton's strengths and the surrounding pieces around him. You got one of the best running backs in all of football. You have one of the best receivers in all of football. You have an up-and-coming receiver in Tyler Boyd. So it's going to be interesting to see how Andy Dalton plays this year, because you know that contract is coming up in a couple years. So there's a lot of pressure on Andy Dalton, like there hasn't been anyways. So it's going to be interesting to see how he develops and how he improves under Zach Taylor this year.
Well, one of the interesting things, you brought up contract, and I know that's something to look forward to, because Andy Dalton's contract was actually a steal for Cincinnati. When you look at some of the quarterbacks and what they were getting paid, the Bengals got a good deal on Andy Dalton and what they had to pay him in his contract year. I think he's going into one of his best situations, though. You have a new coach. Your offensive line did get better. Again, I'm going to go back on that. I do think that they got better. You still have one of the top running backs in the AFC, and one of his best targets, besides A.J. Green, when they connect, is having Tyler Tyler Boyd in year two. Again, the pressure off AJ when you have a guy like Tyler Boyd out there. And in the red zone, when Tyler Eifert is healthy, he's one of the best tight ends in the NFL.
Agreed.
And I think, and I kind of want to go back to the wide receiver situation and getting that pressure off him. The reason Juju had one of his best seasons or was playing the way he was in the NFL is because you have AB on the other side. No longer have AB over there. So I think that's going to be interesting in the AFC North, what the Steelers are able to do when that pressure is off him. Can Juju still produce those numbers? Yes, he's a talented receiver, and we'll probably see that. But I think the same can go for Cincinnati when you have guys like Tyler Boyd and AJ Green out there, and Tyler Boyd playing for that money. So it's gonna be a year for everybody all around in the AFC North and on the offensive line for the Bengals, what they're playing for.
Well, you mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster, and that's a perfect segue to the last question I had at quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger. Now, what is he going to do in a season where he does not have Antonio Brown and he does not have Le'Veon Bell? You can make a case that Le'Veon Bell, I know he did not play last year, but he's arguably the best running back in the NFL. And you can make a case, the same thing at the receiver spot, that Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the NFL. You don't lose players of that caliber and become a better football team. The Steelers got worse during offseason.
And older.
Yes, by losing those two players. They are two-star players. The triple Bs have turned into the single B. And we'll see what happens, because we know Ben Roethlisberger, he's getting older, as you mentioned, and Father Time is undefeated. We saw it last year. He had games where he was erratic with the football. He's not as successful getting out of the pocket anymore because he's a little bit slower now. But at the end of the day, why I picked a 37-year-old quarterback for my all-AFC North team is that experience. He's been in a game of football a long time. Not a lot fools him on the defensive side of the football. He knows the division well, and he knows that system. So he has some continuity with some of the players around him, and he hasn't had to deal with a lot of change as a Steeler. So until this year, obviously, with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell have now departed to the West Coast one and the East Coast the other. So it's going to be interesting. There are a lot of questions surrounding each and every quarterback in the division this year. So it's going to be fascinating to find out and to witness what happens.
And we're going to talk about that all season long. We're going to break all that down when preseason gets here, when regular season starts. We get into some of those AFC North battles. But we have other things coming up, a little different than football. Zach Taylor is going to be in one of the pace cars for the Kentucky Speedway race. You're going to go down there and talk to him and cover it. Have you ever been to a NASCAR race?
I have never been to a NASCAR race. So this is going to be a first-time experience. I have friends who actually work in NASCAR, and they were always getting me to asking me, Tyler, you should come out to an event. It's going to be real fun. We'll get you in VIP, whatever. I was like, well, you know, I was kind of hesitant, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm not a NASCAR guy. NFL is my favorite sport. I love NBA. Track and field. If you don't know, I used to be a track athlete too. So those are my sports. Those are my go-to. So when it comes to NASCAR, I mean, I've seen it on TV. I'm not a huge fan. I'm just keeping 100. I'm just keeping it real.
That's fine. But I think it's one of those things where you have to go to one race and experience it. It's different. And I think that's what gets some people hooked if they go to one race, maybe Indy 500 or NASCAR. I did get to experience one of the cars in like a pre-race trial. I'm probably butchering it, NASCAR fans. But I got to do like a trial race, and it was so much fun that I felt like I was going to fall out of my seat. So I definitely recommend it if you could ever get the chance to try to get one of the cars with one of the drivers. He was 21, and I felt like we were going to wreck.
So do you remember what race it was? What event?
I was before the Kentucky Speedway. They were just kind of having like a practice day, lap day or whatever. And again, I'm butchering all of it for NASCAR fans right now. But I remember getting in the car, and I thought it was really cool. So
you actually got in the car?
I got in the car, and we drove really, really, really fast.
Did you
fast.
Drive it?
No. Okay. No. I climbed through the window, which is really awkward, and it was really hot because it was July. And I got in and we raced and raced and it was fun and it was over and I made it out and I'll never do it again. I recommend it.
I really hope they don't have me get in the car.
I hope you do get in the car, actually.
That might be the last time I do this podcast if I get in the car, because I'll just pass out. I'll be incoherent for the rest of the year.
It's talent right there. I don't know how they do it and how they're not freaking out, but I'm sure that they just thrive off of it. But you'll have fun doing that. So yeah, more on Kentucky Speedway. You'll get the chance to talk to Zach Taylor this weekend. It'll be up on Cincinnati.com. And we'll go right back to the defense right now. And I want to talk a little bit about Carl Lawson.
Yeah, he made some headlines this week. He was on NFL Network Good Morning Football this week. And on the field news, he dropped some good information for Bengals fans. He is targeting a week one return. We all know that he was injured in week 8 last year. He tore his right ACL, and that was coming off of a rookie season where he had 8.5 sacks and led all rookies in that department. So he was a really promising rookie, really got off that edge strong and was able to wreak havoc in the backfield. And year 2, it just wasn't there for him. Even before the injury, he had one sack going into that week 8 game. And a lot of that is, you know, a new system. He was playing a little bit linebacker too and not playing all defensive end. So that had its effect on Carl Lawson. So it's going to be interesting to see how he bounces back off an ACL tear. I've had my ACL torn before, and my knee is not the same. So, but again, I don't have professional medical staff that I train with and work with every single day. So it's, and NFL Network Good Morning Football, he looked like he was in great shape, and they alluded
right
to that as well. They were like, wow, you look like you've been working out and training well. And he said, he's had a successful offseason. So I'm having good expectations for him, and that will be a major boon for the Bengals to have him rushing the quarterback again, because the Bengals' defensive line, and I'll touch on that on my all-AFC North team later this week. It's the defensive line. They're looking real good. They're real talented. We know that group with a headline by Geno Atkins. They can make some noise. That's the best part of their defense. So for Carl Lawson, I'm hoping that he can bounce back from that ACL tear, and hopefully we can see what we saw from him in his rookie season, because there was a lot of promise. He led all rookies again with those 8.5 sacks. So I think he's going to be, from what I have seen, at least on Good Morning Football, at least.
Well, I think what's interesting about Carl Lawson is he did have that change in defensive coordinator, and then you deal with the ACL injury. And, and for him to kind of bounce off of that year that he had in his first year of his rookie season to what you were thinking you were going to get in his sophomore season in year two, and to not get that, and to kind of get new guidance. No offense to Terrell Austin, but I don't know if that fit Carl Lawson. Before the season started, people were throwing out, I'll move him to linebacker. They need No, you just don't do that with some players. Carl Lawson was fine where he was in his rookie season. So, as you mentioned, ACL, if you're not thinking about that when you get back out there as a professional athlete, I think that all the time. It's mental. It's in your head. You know you were injured. You don't want to tear the other one, because that could happen. The percentage of that is still high for how weak your other knee gets. But as you mentioned, he has professional trainers out there that he works with, and they work on strengthening both of those. So I think what's going to be interesting for him is if we get the year two we wanted to see from last year out of Carl Lawson with the change that this team is seeing right now on all coaching levels.
And then I admire this, and I like this from an athlete when you know they talk a little bit of smack.
Oh, and he does. He loves it.
And he did so on the show this week, and he said Aaron Rodgers was an easy quarterback to sack. Now, I have to give him credit, because the last time the Bengals played the Packers, Lawson had 2.5 sacks. And so he got to Aaron Rodgers.
If you can talk the talk, walk the walk.
I'm a big fan of that. Yes.
If
you talk the talk, you better be able to walk the walk.
And he will.
He did walk the walk in that game. He did get a couple sacks against the Green Bay Packers. So that was interesting. And it's bulletin board material. However, they don't play the Packers this year. So it's not like Aaron Rodgers can bounce back and say, well, okay, well, we'll see
well,
on the field.
There is a chance.
There is a chance.
I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying that yet.
Are you making a prediction?
No. I'm just saying the there's a chance you never know what could happen.
Hot take?
I do not want to be that hot take girl, but who knows? who knows what's going to happen this season on the BBP? We're going to have some fun. But we're going to, you know, they're quiet offseason kind of leading into training camp. But Geno Atkins, new deal.
Yes, a new Nike extension for Geno Atkins. That was announced yesterday through his agency, and I announced it as well on my Twitter, shameless plug. So Nike, are you a Nike person?
Okay, so I have a problem here, and I'm sure I'm breaking all of the rules, the fashion people, they're like, you can't do that. I can wear Adidas shoes, and I'll wear like Nike pants, and an Adidas top, and New Balance hat.
Whoa. Or,
I mean, I break all of the rules. I love Nike. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I'm Major League Soccer on the side, so we do Adidas, but I'm kind of both.
Okay, I have to ask. When you're wearing like 30 different apparels, are they at least matching?
No, I mean, today I'm going to go to a workout class after here, and I'm going to have Adidas shoes on, regular workout pants, and then like a Puma shirt. So I'm not even matching. And then you can see.
So it's not even color coordinated.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I'm the least color coordinated person. When it comes to fashion, I create my own. And okay. I'm like that with sports and just like an attire from Nike to Adidas. I never have it matched. I mean, I'll wear the ball cap that'll be Nike. I'll have Adidas shoes on. It does not need to match for me. I'll wear two different colored socks. I don't care.
Well, I am the polar opposite.
Oh, wow. So you are really a matchy-matchy guy. We are totally different.
I am Nike through and through. Nike or Team Jordan.
Jordan. I'm a Jordan. We can get into that conversation another day, but I'm Jordan all day.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I wear on my feet. And if I'm wearing athletic gear, it's going to be Nike or Jordan. People know if you see me around Cincinnati, a lot of the time, if I'm not working, you're going to see me in some J's. You're going to see me in some Jordan apparel most of the time because I'm Team Jordan. Team Nike.
Are you like high top guy? Because I always try to find a good pair of high tops.
Yeah, I feel as though I look better in high tops because, you know, I'm kind of a big guy. So low tops, they just don't look good on me. So I'm a high top guy.
I got the high top
11s, high top 1s, high top 9s.
Oh, wow. We got a shoe guy over here. He's probably judging my shoes right now. They're very casual.
I'm not judging your Adidas. Right now. I already told everybody you're wearing Adidas. That's fine, though.
I can rock out Nikes, too. I don't have a favorite. I like to wear both. And actually, I'm really big team cheap on what's on sale. So if I can, I was actually at the, I want to say Dick's Sporting Good. Hopefully I'm allowed to say that. But I was at the store and I went to their clearance rack. I'm like, okay, what workout tops can I get for like $10? Okay, the Nike, fine. Adidas, fine. Puma, fine. New Balance, I don't even care. Whatever's cheap.
Well, okay. So I do have to admit, like if I go to an outlet, I will make a point to go to the Nike outlet.
For sure.
I judge outlets if they even have a Nike store.
It's the biggest one.
Yeah, if you don't have a Nike store near an outlet, then I think you're a terrible outlet and I'm not even going to give you any of my time. But if you do have one, I'm going to go to your store and the Nike is going to be, I always park my car by the Nike because I know I'm going to hit up there first and then I'll walk around and browse your outlet. But the Nike takes precedent in my opinion with any outlet. And 9 times out of 10, I'm walking out with bags.
I like plural. It. Team Nike. Well, we're going to have some fun here, Tyler. The first episode of the season right now. We have a lot of training camp stuff, video coming up. You have a lot of content that's going to be on Cincinnati.com for fans to look for. A lot of fun features coming up, and I can't wait to share them. But this is the first of many.
First of many. And it's been fun. It's been fun. This first podcast I had in Cincinnati, and I'm looking forward to many more with you as my co-host.
Can't
we're going
to
have a great time this year, and we're going to be interviewing players, kind of tease a little bit.
Yeah.
Players, hopefully some coaches, and we're going to talk some fun this whole entire year, and I'm looking forward to it.
A lot of stuff coming up for the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get back to it in a couple weeks before training camp starts. Tyler, where can people find you on social media?
Twitter, hit me up anytime. I answer back, so I'm not one of those guys. If you hit me up on Twitter, I will definitely respond. And you can find me at the Tyler Dragon on Twitter.
I love it.
What about you? Share your Twitter
handle, too. Ellen Diaz Patterson. I tweet all the time. Doc makes fun of me for all my tweets. I have a lot. So if you follow me, you're going to get a little bit of everything, but a lot of sports stuff, too. I can't wait for the season. It's going to be fun. You're going to hear us talking a lot of football. We'll have more video content coming up, more BBP coming up, and some features. I can't wait to share with some of the players, too, as the season goes on. Make sure you're following us on E&Q Bengals on the Instagram. We're going to do some fun things over there. But in a couple weeks, we'll have more content, more BBP coming back to you for the morning drive. Maybe you're heading to work. Anything you would like, make sure you're downloading, sharing, and commenting and letting us know what else you would like to hear. We'll have more Twitter questions coming up in the future episodes, too. So we're going to be shouting at you guys. You're going to throw some things out there, and we'll have a little fun on the BBP. But make sure you're joining us all on Cincinnati.com. Plenty to see. And one last time, what do you have up there now?
I have my all AFC North team. It's the second edition today. Yesterday was the offensive lineman. Today is the quarterbacks. Tomorrow I will have another one up there. So follow Cincinnati.com and you will see all my latest content. And then once training camp gets closer, I'm even going to have a training camp preview at all 53. Roster projections. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com. Keep it locked on my social media handle, and you will see all the latest content and even more as my social media handle, because I talk about everything anyways.
Talks about everything. Make sure you join us over on social media and Cincinnati.com. We'll be back in a couple weeks on the BBP.
See you later.